This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Israeli leaders approving Prime Minister Netanyahu's plan to expand military operations and to occupy Gaza City eventually. ABC's Ian Pannell has more from Tel Aviv. Well,
there's a real sense of shock about what's just happened here. The United Nations High Commission for Refugees issuing a statement that condemns the move, calling it to be withdrawn immediately, saying extending the war will lead to more killing, more suffering, and more destruction.
There's no word on when or where that meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin is supposed to take place. Today was the deadline that Trump gave to Russia to call for a ceasefire in Ukraine or face stiffer economic sanctions. President Trump has directed a ramp up of federal law enforcement in Washington, D.C. Beginning tonight, a high-profile former member of the Doge team recently beaten up by a group of teens in D.C. Police say crime's actually down, though, 26% this year. A fire burning outside Los Angeles, leading to a state of emergency. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The name of the woman killed after deer crashed into her vehicle Wednesday night has been released. Brianna C. Espinoza White, 29, of Baraboo, was traveling west on Highway 33 near the intersection of Highway X in the town of Greenfield around 8:35 when another vehicle traveling east on 33 hit a deer. The deer entered the driver's compartment, causing life-threatening injuries to Espinoza White. The vehicle then left the roadway and struck a house, causing damage to both the vehicle and the house. Baraboo Fire and EMS responded along with multiple deputies from the Sauk County Sheriff's Department. Upon arrival, it was learned the lone occupant of the vehicle, Brianna Espinoza White, was dead. No one inside of the residence was hurt.
The mother of a teen involved in last year's school shooting in Madison is dead. The Wisconsin State Journal reports Melissa Rupnow was found dead inside a Janesville home last Friday. Rupnow was the mother of 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, who opened fire inside Abundant Life Christian School December 16th, killing a fellow student and a teacher before turning the gun on herself. Janesville police say it appears that Melissa died by suicide, but have not commented further because of an ongoing investigation. Her ex-husband, Jeffrey Rupnow, is facing multiple charges for allegedly letting Natalie have access to the weapons used in the shooting.
The Wisconsin Humane Society is in desperate need of foster families this summer. The agency says its 6 shelters are overflowing with cats due to a worse-than-usual summer influx of stray and abandoned kittens. Right now, the society is sheltering 1,500 animals, and 1,100 of those are cats. You can find out how to open your home as a foster online at wihumane.org.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers preseason underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the Jets tomorrow night in their first preseason game. Aaron Mosby made the team last year as a linebacker. Does he feel pressure to make the cut this year?
It's always pressure when you're trying to make a 53-man roster. That's just anyone in the league. It can go for anyone. So it's a little bit of pressure, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. We've been playing this since we were little kids. So you just go out there, you know, try to have fun with it, try to do your best, and try to make a splash play here and there.
College football. The Badgers hold their final practice at UW-Platteville Saturday night before moving back to Madison. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets in Milwaukee. First baseman Andrew Vaughn continues to hit home runs every series.
Vaughn is unbelievable. 3 times on base. One time he just circled the bases. He's been special both offensively, defensively. Vaughn, Collins, and Perkins, they're the 3 that you got to look at. And Sal, those are great performances by those 4.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Sizzling hot today with mostly sunny skies and high humidity. With temperatures spiking to the low 90s, it's really going to be feeling more like near 100 degrees. Thankfully, we have a breeze, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Then strong to severe thunderstorms are expected tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 81 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
There are marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking in the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Callan Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our guest, I want to remind folks, today is Free Ticket Friday. Text in the word Pitch, P-I-T-C-H, right now via the Civic Media app only. Text in the word Pitch, P-I-T-C-H, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday's game at AmFam when the Brewers host the Pirates. Text in the word Pitch, P-I-T-C-H, spelling counts. All my haters, here's your big chance. Pitch is the word, P-I-T-C-H, as I said, spelling counts. You'll have another word from 11 to 2 with Tom Hartman, and another one with Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays underway today on Civic Media. Delighted to be joined by our next guest, State Representative Jenna Jacobson is here. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning to you all, too.
Really glad to have you with us. I wanted to start off. This is an article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redman has the byline, and I just wanted to mention that Senator Howard Markline, who is a Republican from Wisconsin, says that farmers are not concerned about Donald Trump's policies. Apparently, everything's great.
Oh. Well, then I'm going to go home then. I'll see you guys later.
Farmers aren't worried. Don't worry about tariffs. Don't worry about losing all your workers. Everything's good. Representative, you had a recent event where you appeared with Brad Paff and also our friend of the show, Darren Von Rudin, recently at a farm. I'm curious what you're hearing from Wisconsin farmers.
I'm hearing that farmers are concerned. And I think one of the things that is driving that concern is the flip-flopping back and forth of, are we going to have a tariff? What's the cost of that tariff going to be? When's it going to be implemented? And then suddenly it's not going to happen or it's changing. And that makes it really hard for everybody, but specifically farmers, to make plans and understand the markets that they're trying to work in to sell their products. So I'm not sure exactly why Howard Markline said that, because that is the opposite of what I've been hearing from folks around the district.
Almost makes one wonder if Howard Markline has actually talked to any farmers, but, you know, one wonders.
One wonders.
I'm curious.
Just curious.
It seems like a very convenient way to hand wave away the question is that, you know, I know what's going on. They're fine. They're tough people. And it goes back to that sentiment goes back to something we've discussed for a long time on this show, is that farmers, I don't say this phrase lightly because I feel like a lot of people do and they use it as a campaigning phrase, but farmers are truly the backbone of this society. The agriculture that goes on, especially in Wisconsin, is so vital to the progress of the state, the country, the world. And farmers persist. They keep going. They do the job. And they're not doing it because they're like, they're doing it because they have to and they want to and they're passionate. But like, it's the work. It's the thing they need to do. They just want to work. And I do not understand why we would make it even harder than it already is for them. With not just tariffs, but other aspects too, as far as staffing being taken away from them as well at a moment's notice. But it just feels like we should be holding up farmers like we should be holding up teachers. And yet we have people like, and he's not the only one, who just say things like that. Ah, the farmers are fine. They're not fine. And they're saying something. They're standing up. And it's regardless of who they voted for. They need our help.
Right. Yep. 100%. And, you know, farmers are strong and they are resilient, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do everything that we can to help make their job easier, to help them do the work that we need them to do. You're right. The backbone in Wisconsin, it's over $100 billion added to our economy. It's one in 10 jobs is related to the agricultural industry. That is a massive impact to our state, not to mention we're America's dairyland. It's our heritage that we have to be preserving. And so the idea that anybody doesn't care about what is happening to our farmers, to our agricultural heritage, and this incredibly important industry to our state is beyond what I would believe somebody would say.
Right. Yeah. What are you talking about? How can you say those things? It beggars belief. It really does. And when Darren Von Rooten was on our show earlier this week, he had mentioned Wisconsin continues to lose dairy farms at a frightening pace. Truly.
Yes. Yeah. We're down to just over, I think it's like 5,300 dairy farms. Mm-hmm. We're seeing large consolidation. We're seeing the loss of small farms. In fact, I wrote a bill last session. We're getting ready to reintroduce it that tries to help with that succession planning so we can have more people enter into farming because it is just so expensive and so hard to do. And we know that if we as a state aren't doing something to promote our small farms to help people get back into that industry, we're going to continue to lose more farms. We're going to continue to see this consolidation. And it really makes you think about, you know, about our agricultural heritage and what that vision is going to look like in the future.
State Representative Jenna Jacobson is our guest, and we're talking about the state of Wisconsin farmers, tariffs, immigration raids, all of these things going on. I'm wondering, Representative, for people who may not appreciate the damage that consolidating can bring, the damage that massive consolidation of all these family farms, what does that mean for consumers? Is this good for consumers?
Well, I think it gets rid of, changes the consumer choice. I think it also, you think about we have this incredible local food movement that is happening throughout our state. I think, you know, Wisconsinites really enjoy being able to go to their neighbor to get their beef, to get their vegetables. And when you see more consolidation and less people getting into farming, that relationship with your food, with your neighbors kind of goes away. I also feel like when we talk about environmental support, when you have farmers who are living in your community and taking care of that soil and their waterways and their kids are going to those schools, they're looking at their environment differently than if it's some corporate farm that's just coming in and popping a huge building into a bunch of land that they've recently acquired. So,
well, and you make a really important point, Representative, I think, in that, you know, a lot of these corporate companies, they don't have folks who are on the ground here. They don't live, as you said, they don't live in these communities. They don't send their kids to these schools. The health of these smaller communities is not necessarily of their concern, as opposed to an independent farmer who, that is their community. That's the schools are the backbone of rural communities in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. They absolutely are the backbone. And, you know, and that's another thing that we see in addition to not investing in our farming and our agricultural industry, we're not seeing an investment in schools that protects our rural schools. And that's another thing that Howard has been lacking on in his tenure. And we have to see that change. We have to start fully funding our schools. We have to be investing in our rural communities and our farms so we can keep our rural heritage.
Yeah, I think that's the important point to make in the conversation, too. When we talk about farming, it's important to mention when we're talking about the protection of our local farmers, our small business farmers. I feel like when we talk about farming, individuals can propose it as like we need to help our farmers. Like, who are we helping? Is that money going to a corporation or is that going to the guy who literally lives 20 minutes from my house right now? And I think that's an important distinction to make because it's so intertwined. And when we talk about cutting a check for farmers as they did years ago to make up for what happened to them because of the first trade war, we need to make sure that, okay, I don't think farmers would say no to some relief. They want to work. They want to get the work done. But if the money is going to be cut, if there's going to be a check, that it goes to the individuals who are actually providing the services to our state that make the most difference.
Not necessarily this big conglomerate. Yeah.
Sorry, that is me railing against corporate farming. My apologies for a moment there.
fine with me.
There's a... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just going to say, yes, to that point, we had a federal program called the Local Food Purchasing Program, mm-hmm. and the USDA cut that earlier this year.
Yeah.
Senator Paff and I introduced a bill to attempt to recreate that at the state level. So we're giving grants to our farmers, our small farmers, but that food is also then going to our local food pantries. It's going to the folks who need it the most. And again, focusing on fresh, healthy, local food that people can have. And so there are things that we can't change everything at the state level, but there are so many things that we can be doing that would be impactful to our farmers, to our rural communities that just haven't been getting done. And we need to start focusing on the people of Wisconsin.
I'm going to cite from this article again from the Wisconsin Examiner about the recent event that you had along with Brad Paff and Darren Von Ruden. Tom Tiffany again says that through actions like raising the estate tax exemption for farms and setting up trade agreements with countries around the world, Wisconsin farmers now get to benefit from free markets. This estate tax exemption I have heard come up a lot of times when Republicans are trying to justify these big cuts. Does the estate tax really impact that many family farms in Wisconsin? Do you know?
I don't know offhand. My guess would be, I probably shouldn't guess, but, you know, agriculture is expensive, right? Land is expensive. Mm-hmm. Equipment is expensive. So those things add up pretty quickly. And I think that's why we need to make the transition succession planning a huge part of the conversation and really focus on that, you know, as people are wanting to get out of farming or retire from farming or looking at what's going to happen with their agricultural assets after they pass, to make that transition smoother and so that people can get into farming. Because that's the other component of it is that people can't afford to buy the land or the equipment. And again, that's why I had this Farming Forward bill to help ease that transition because we need to get that next generation, make it easier for them, right? Make it so that they can get into farming.
And make a living at it.
Yes.
That's kind of an important component of that whole thing, which, again, I think people forget.
Yeah,
I do.
I think this is purely petty from my point. But I just for me, when I hear someone like we're talking about very common sense, which should be bipartisan solutions. And someone like Tom Tiffany says the estate tax. I'm like, where did that even come from? What are you talking about right now? No one brought that up. I'm talking about trying to just make it easier for them. And that can be a part of the solution. Yes, but we need clearer, more pointed solutions than just like, oh, we'll take care of a tax. It's not the solution you think it is.
Well, and it, you know, as we see farms decreasing, who's going to be the majority of people benefiting from the estate tax exemption? That would be the next question, I would say.
Very good question. Our guest is State Representative Jenna Jacobson. We're going to continue our conversation with her. If you would like to ask a question, you can always text it in at 855-752-4842. We have Teresa on the live stream with a comment about tariffs. We'll come back with that. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Let's go!
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, it is Free Ticket Friday, so grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word PITCH. P-I-T-C-H. Text in the word PITCH. You're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday when the Brewers host the Pirates. You have until 11 o'clock, so text in the word PITCH right now, P-I-T-C-H, via the Civic Media app. Joining us is State Representative Jenna Jacobson, and we are talking about Wisconsin farmers and all the challenges that they're facing, tariffs as well. And I did want to share this that came in on the live stream, Representative, even though this isn't specific to farmers, but I still think it's important. If you're still talking about tariffs, while we're not Ford, we are already feeling them. I own a small microbrewery in Eau Claire. I placed an order this morning from a company that imports from Canada. After shipping costs, there's now a tariff charge. So in addition to taxes, shipping on this order now has a $100 tariff charge. This is a small order. I can't imagine what it's going to be when we need to order cans in the spring. Small businesses cannot withstand these added costs. And this is multiplied by a billion all around the country.
Yeah, tariffs are, I think, especially this fall, we're really starting to see the impacts. You know, we were talking about farmers earlier. They're seeing the impacts as they're purchasing their inputs, as well as it's back to school time. Yep. I have three kiddos.
Yep.
And fortunately or unfortunately, they grew all summer. So I have to buy new pants for them and new shoes.
New shoes.
And, yep. And if not, in addition to all the back to school supplies and we're feeling it. We're seeing it impacting the back to school shopping, and it's just going to keep growing and growing. And Wisconsin families are already strapped. We've already been struggling, right? We've been hearing so much grocery costs. Yep. I mean, at first I thought it was because two of my kiddos are teenagers, but it turns out
they're not that, just eating like moose. Yes.
Right. But I mean, we're already feeling the pinch with other costs, and now we're going to have these tariffs on top of it. Small businesses, exactly, we've been highlighting and hearing about the impacts to small businesses around the state. This is really, really starting to hurt Wisconsin folks across the state, and we've got to push back on our federal delegation. I know I've been working with our federal partners to say that we can't afford this. We don't need more taxes.
And you were speaking earlier about the bill that you were pushing through to help farmers with a program to get, you know, funding to allow them to grow food, to donate to pantries. And in the politics side of it, you made the announcement that you are a state representative right now, but you are running for state Senate. So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So I announced on July 7th that I'm going to challenge Howard Markline. I'm running for state Senate, flip the 17th Senate district. And there's so many reasons why I want to do this. In addition to the fact that I think my conversations with people around the district, they are frustrated with not being heard. They're frustrated with feeling like when they finally do get to talk to their state senator, that then he goes to the Capitol and votes in the ways they're not asking for.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I go back to, you know, farmers are concerned. Perhaps they're just not sharing that with him because he has a history of not listening for the past 15 years.
I mean, he wouldn't be the first elected official who claims to be of the farmers and does nothing to help the farmers. I'm only looking to Western Wisconsin, the third Darren Horn. But like, And I think that's important. I think that's absolutely great. I'm all for someone stepping in and saying, no, let's actually do the work and help these individuals out.
Well, and challenge some of these people who have been there for a long time. As you said, Howard Markline's been there for a long time and is not necessarily responsive anymore to constituents, which is yet another reminder of why we don't need or want extreme gerrymandering. Because when you do that, you insulate politicians on all sides so that they don't have to respond to you.
Oh,
did we lose you, Representative?
Yes. And I apologize for interrupting you earlier.
Not at all.
I'm here. Can you hear me still?
Yep. Yeah.
No?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. All right. Sorry. School funding is another thing that's been an issue in this district. We have had some of the most amount of school referenda in the past 2 years of any other Senate district. We have had elementary schools close in consolidation because of lack of funding. And under this most recent state budget, we have so many schools that are losing general ed funding. So while you'll hear talk a lot about special education reimbursement going up, what they're not talking about is that the general aid is, as in a lot of cases, going down. I believe it was 60% of schools in this district is going down. And again, we talk about costs to families and costs to people in the district. They're already strapped with grocery costs.
Yes.
They're already, the tariffs are going to be hitting them. And now we have school districts that are going to be asking for more money so that they can continue to do the basics. But they need their, you know, they're going to ask voters to increase their property taxes. And this is just another cost that people can't afford right now.
We talked about this quite a bit yesterday, Representative, just about the fact that Republicans love to talk about fixing things and they just never seem to get around to actually doing the fixes. Because it costs it, or investing in education instead of sitting on this surplus, investing in our schools so that we don't constantly have to go to referendum to keep our schools running. There's a lot more to cover. We're just about out of time. We will include context for your campaign as well as the article that we were talking about. State Representative Jenna Jacobson has been our guest. Thank you so very much, much for your time this morning, Representative. Really appreciate it.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate the time.
We have news coming up next when we return Audio Sorbet with a side of deep fried gripe. We're going to lighten it up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Three buildings on the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh campus will soon be coming down. The State Building Commission approved their demolition Tuesday. According to the meeting minutes, Donner Webster and Radford Halls are considered beyond their useful lives. Two of the buildings are dorms. The third houses English department offices, a computer lab, and the health center. So the first phase of the project means renovating another space into a new clinic so it can move out of one of the buildings to be demolished. Once that's complete, the demolition will begin. In place of the old buildings, the university plans to create a new campus green space and eventually make room for future building. The entire project is expected to cost approximately $5.3 million. All three buildings were built in the 50s and 60s. They're named for prominent members of the community, including Barbara Donner, a professor of history in Oshkosh, Emily Webster, a member of the first graduating class of the Oshkosh Normal School in 1875, and Frank Radford, a sash and door manufacturer who served on the Board of Regents. A Shawano airman killed during World War II will be laid to rest this Saturday. Private Herbert McLaughlin died during the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. His remains were buried in Hawaii, but for decades they were unidentified. That changed in 2019 when an agency that identifies missing soldiers exhumed his remains. Through DNA testing and other forensic methods, they were able to confirm his identity and announced it last December. Now Private McLaughlin's remains have made their way back to Wisconsin, and he's getting a motorcycle escort to Shawano. He'll be laid to rest with full military honors this Saturday. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I'm going to take a hard pass on taking comedic advice from Jay Leno. Those are the words of Last Week Tonight host John Oliver. Oliver is absolutely brilliant on his weekly show, where he sometimes will dedicate the whole show to one topic and provide insightful information as well as great laughs, not caring who he offends, and he offends many. Jay Leno, on the other hand, was an outstanding stand-up comedian, and when he took over The Tonight Show, had his funny bone removed, transferring himself into an incredibly mediocre and at times awkward talk show host. According to critics, Leno went painstakingly middle of the road and tried not to offend anyone, thereby turning himself into just an okay host. In his defense, Leno admits he likes political humor, but likes to keep people guessing as to who he was offending or not offending. Oliver, on the other hand, doesn't think his comedy is partisan, but deals more with systemic problems that affect people. If you haven't checked it out, tune in and watch John Oliver not follow Jay Leno's advice. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Sizzling hot today with mostly sunny skies and high humidity. With temperatures spiking to the low 90s, it's really going to be feeling more like near 100 degrees. Thankfully, we have a breeze, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Then strong to severe thunderstorms are expected tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 81 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens and our Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins me for Bar Band Friday Night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Hello, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it is underway. Free Ticket Friday is going on right now. So if you haven't yet, grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Text in the word pitch, spelling counts. P-I-T-C-H. You can text that in until 11 o'clock this morning. That gets you in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets for next Wednesday when they host the Pirates at AmFam Field. So text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, right now. And good luck. You'll have another chance from 11 to 2 with Tom Hartman. And then again with Todd from 2 to 4. Todd Alba and Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Free Ticket Fridays underway today on Civic Media. Stay with us all day long. You can enter every time we get a new word.
Yes.
So you got lots of chances to win those tickets. All we ask is that you're able to go to next Wednesday's game.
Yes.
Because these are, I understand, these are hot tickets.
These are, it's the hottest team in baseball, literally. The best record. We're 4 games up in first place. They took a day off yesterday. They were so hot, Jane, yesterday. Like, guys, just, you know,
just so they weren't steaming.
Oh, they had to cool down. But yeah, no, they're back in action today, and it's exciting to watch. And
it really is.
It's good stuff.
So you could be in the running, just like Jim from Wausau or Pat from Eau Claire. We also had an entry. Here he is, Ryan from Edgar. Edgar, by the way, is west of Wausau. Did you know that? Put that on our list.
Hey, Jane, when did you find out about that? Where did the location?
When I just looked it up. Where is Edgar, Wisconsin?
Where's Edgar? I think he's in the garage.
No, thank you, Ryan. So text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, and good luck. This is the portion of the show we like to lighten things up and just take a breath, get away from the news a little bit. We call it Audio Sorbet. Today, it's a special edition, Audio Sorbet with a side of deep fried gripes.
Let me tell you something, boy.
Nice job, Calvinator. We're talking horrifying state fair foods.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last weekend of the great Wisconsin State Fair. By the way, ranked number 3 of the greatest state fairs in the country.
Of all states fair?
Of all states fair, Wisconsin State Fair number 3. I think Minnesota's number 1, Iowa's number 2. Fine.
Well, you know, it makes
sense.
And
we've got number 3.
It makes sense that the 3 of us are top 3s. You know, like, I don't really think, you know, Michigan, you're fine. But I feel like if you're talking about state fair and everything goes into a state fair, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin have probably have it on lock.
On lock. Yeah, yeah. I like that. So Reader's Digest compiled a list of the worst deep fried state fair foods from all over the country.
Just because Reader's Digest.
I know. I was very delighted when I saw this morning.
Kids, ask your meemaw.
She knows what Reader's Digest is.
I love their abridged books.
So some of the worst deep fried state fair foods, according to Reader's Digest. Number one, we got your fried scorpions at the Arizona State Fair.
Okay, Arizona, let's just take a moment here. First of all, you don't need a state fair. There's like four people living in your state.
I think there's more than that.
Okay, fine, there's more. But still, it's you don't have to be so on the nose with who you are. You know, that would be like having Wisconsin having like deep fried, I don't know, pickup truck. I have no idea, but like deep fried scorpion.
You think that's trying too hard?
I feel like you're just showing off.
Fine, take that, Arizona. Also on the list of worst deep fried state fair foods, fried jelly beans at the Massachusetts State Fair. Why?
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
I just think it's all about nowadays, it's all about shoulda instead of coulda.
It's the novelty of it. It's like, yeah, this won't necessarily be good, but it's new.
It's a food that you can actively pay too much for with middling to low expectations. You can say like, oh, these six deep fried jelly beans were $12 and they're terrible. But man, I just paid $12 for deep fried
and
jelly beans.
And I got it all over my socials.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about the clout, baby.
The important thing. I dispute this one. This is also on the list of worst deep fried foods at state fairs. Fried meatballs at the Minnesota State Fair.
That can't be a thing. That's not a thing all over
fried
the place.
Fried meatballs. Deep fried spaghetti and meatballs on a stick at the Minnesota State Fair.
Deep fried spaghetti and meatballs?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay, that sounds interesting because it just, to me, I picture a corn dog
extra
type of
element.
Yeah, exactly. And also Calvin, you know, whatever. He put in our chat something really on the nose like deep fried cheese or deep fried butter. You're right. Wisconsin would never be that cliche. I swear to God. I swear to God. Okay. Cheese and butter is something we can all get around worldwide. Deep fried cheese, there you go. It's called a cheese curd.
Yes.
Everyone would do that. You get 10 people together, give them deep fried cheese and a deep fried scorpion. Which one do you think they're going for? We win.
Calvin.
You are completely right, Craig. I just found
That's all I needed to hear.
I just found it funny that when you were giving that example, I said, you know, Wisconsin, that'd be like Wisconsin having deep fried. And I knew you wanted to say cheese, but you skipped it and went with pickup truck.
I don't know. I'm not that smart nor funny, so I guess.
Speaking of Wisconsin State Fair, on the list of the worst deep-fried state fair foods, fried butter, Calvin, is on there.
I just don't understand.
Deep-fried butter, I don't. It's a dough ball with a butter in the middle, and it's molten lava hot.
And that was the thing. We talked about this, I think we talked about it when the fair was starting, is things like deep fried Snickers and deep fried Oreos, those things, they melt in that casing. And when you bite into them, it's literally just hot lava being shot into your mouth. And it's disgusting.
Deep fried Snickers also on this list. I think that they cite this Florida State Fair, but I know I tried that a couple of years ago when my husband and I went to the Wisconsin State Fair. It kind of ruined the Snickers. Actually, it did. Because, like you said, it all melts into one little glob.
Yeah, and then it's just like, oh, this tastes like peanuts and nothing.
Worst deep-fried state fair foods, that is our audio sorbet with a side of deep-fried gripes.
On a stick.
Greg supplying that. Deep-fried beer.
Get out of here.
The Texas State Fair. They insert the drink into a pocket of pretzel-like dough and fry it for 20 seconds. Thank goodness the quick cook time means that the beer keeps its alcohol content, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, guys, you guys want a hot breaded beer? Boy, oh boy. What'd you do last night? I wasted on deep fried beer, everybody.
I had 400 of them.
I don't want to drink Lone Star when it's cold. I don't want to drink when it's hot.
Worst deep fried of state fair foods compiled by Reader's Digest. Fried Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Doesn't even say where this is. No one wants to claim it. Similar to beer, you can get a refreshing Coke popped in the fryer. Chefs create a dough batter made of normal dough and then add Coca-Cola and then they fry it. Yeah, no. Fried Kool-Aid balls.
Okay, so here's the thing about that is it in that article, which will be in the show notes, they have all these pictures of the foods.
Yes.
And not all of them are the actual, like, the deep-fried scorpion. It's just a picture of the scorpion. But they just have the image of the packet of Kool-Aid. So you can't even see what a deep-fried Kool-Aid would look like.
Looks like.
It just feels like it looks as terrible as it sounds.
San Diego County Fair offers deep-fried Kool-Aid balls. True aficionados recognize that kids' drinks are best served as a finger food. So, again, that's going to be like deep-fried Coca-Cola. So it's going to have this one little lava-hot ball of cherry Kool-Aid in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Worst deep-fried state fair foods is our audio sorbet for today. Fried pumpkin pie.
Okay, you know what? I can get behind that.
Really?
I could definitely get behind trying deep-fried pumpkin pie. I mean, that's... That, at least to me, seems like something that makes sense in its presentation. I understand deep-fried Snickers. I understand deep-fried Oreos. I understand taking a traditional dessert and deep-frying it. That makes sense to me. Butter, scorpions, Kool-Aid, Coke.
Stretch.
Get out of my country.
Okay.
But deep-fried pumpkin pie, I would give that a shot.
You're open to that? That's absolutely. At the North Carolina State Fair. It doesn't start till October.
See.
You have time. Fried Twinkies, okay. Also on the list of worst... State Fair deep fried foods. You can get the fried Twinkies at the Indiana State Fair. I think that's pretty much all over the place.
They're all over the place. Yeah, that's a standard one at this point.
I have never heard before of fried Jell-O. Kansas State Fair dessert options include deep fried Jell-O and deep fried Nutella. How's that for a serving of jiggly sweet goodness?
I would, as someone who would openly and happily eat Nutella out of the jar with my finger, I would eat deep fried Nutella.
But not deep fried Jell-O?
I don't, that's just deep fried Kool-Aid. That's all that is. Kelvin, do you have any other thoughts on this? Any other, anything that you've either tried that you don't like or just, you know, no thank you.
I'm just trying to like envision how deep fried Kool-Aid would work. It's... What I'm assuming it is sounds awful. I'm sure they just freeze a little ice cube of Kool-Aid.
Probably.
Batter it and fry it. But I'm envisioning like if you made like a Kool-Aid jelly and then it would be kind of like a jelly donut that is Kool-Aid themed.
See, I think you're taking this to a whole new level, Kelvin.
See, absolutely. Kelvin, we should call Amy from Poppy Bakery. You make a Kool-Aid based filling, you inject it into a donut, and then you could. There you go.
The Kool-Aid jelly.
Yes.
Kool-Aid jelly.
You make a jelly.
Yeah.
With a Kool-Aid flavor, and there you go. I mean, that makes and then you can deep fry it.
He's our own little entrepreneur over here.
Yes. Calvin's gonna be a billionaire, and I'm just gonna be like, hey, man, remember me? I'm Greg.
BJ on the live stream says hot beer is gross. That shouldn't be a thing. I would agree with you on that, PJ. And finally, wrapping up the worst deep fried state fair foods, courtesy of Reader's Digest, fried salad. The Texas State Fair, you can dig into a fried club salad. You're mostly eating it for the bacon and the chicken. But there have been some brief sightings of lettuce, tomatoes, and carrots. I don't even know what to do with that.
See, this is where I think Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa should come together as a multi-state
block?
Force to pass or deny other state fairs from their deep fried food ventures.
There should be like a ban.
Yes.
They should be able to ban them.
Like a UN, but just us and other states have to apply for their foods and we get to say no or yes. And I feel like the wonderful people of those state fairs would come to it with an open mind, balanced, and say, take your deep fried salad and throw it in the Rio Grande.
So you want like a deep fried food advisory board? Is kind of what you're
deep
thinking.
Deep fried food conglomerate / authoritarian state.
Okay.
Where we make the rules.
It's all about democracy.
I'm starting to like this, Jane. I'm getting behind it.
Go to the State Fair this weekend, the last weekend of the great, fabulous Wisconsin State Fair. Make sure you check out the Dairy Building and get a new cream puff and a baked potato and a grilled cheese sandwich.
Check out the horse contest, the horse races, the
dock diving.
Yep.
Dogs dock diving and so much more.
Take pictures and text them to us.
We would love to see it. Coming up, we're going to wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Beware Flying Fish Edition. That's coming up. Stay close to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck. The Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you haven't done it yet, grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, pick your favorite station, for example, WAUK, and text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, text in the word pitch. It is our free ticket Friday contest. Mm-hmm. You are in the running then for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets for next Wednesday's game at AmFam when the Brewers host the Pirates. So you have until 11 o'clock. You got about 7 minutes left to text in the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you after 11 o'clock, Todd, all but with a different word from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. All kinds of chances to enter today. You can enter every show with the different keyword. So good luck. The word right now, pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Spelling counts.
Spelling counts, everybody.
Spelling does count. We have a busy week next week. I wanted to point out a couple of things. We have some guests coming up next week. Shelley Pittman, of course.
Yes.
Civic Media's news director will be here on Monday morning to help us recap what happened over the weekend. A lot of times it seems we get off the air at 11 o'clock and then about an hour and a half later, breaking news.
An hour, sometimes minutes.
Yeah, sometimes minutes. So Ashali will be here on Monday. Really looking forward to talking to State Senator Kelda Royce next week.
Yes. Yes.
Andra Watkins, who has also been a frequent guest on our show. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household and has some really interesting insights into the authors of Project 2025, and many of those same people are now in the Trump administration. Andrew Watkins is going to join us coming up this next coming Wednesday. Right now, though, Calvin, it's just about 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from WPKR
92.5.
Headline reads, only in Wisconsin, driver hits falling fish on highway. A bald eagle, a falling fish, and a baffled driver. On Sunday morning, July 27th, Albert Cutler and his family were driving home from church in Waukesha County when they saw something right out of a wildlife documentary. While driving on Highway 16 near Okauchee Lake, Cutler noticed a bald eagle soaring majestic.
And I'm proud
in the
to
air.
Be an American.
He was apparently very hungry. And then came the unexpected. Cutler told Fox 6 News, as he's watching it fly over his car, the eagle lost its grip on a fish mid-flight, and the bass fell directly onto his truck. Cutler's first reaction, along with his family, was, did I just hit a fish?
I don't know, dude. Did the fish just hit you?
I can see where all of us, you're just driving along, and then whack. There's a fish lands on your windshield.
I don't know if there is a more Wisconsin thing that has ever happened
so great
in the history of the universe, I will say.
They said they didn't think much of it until they got home, where they found a largemouth bass wedged in the grill of the truck.
Oh, poor baby. Oh, man.
As fate would have it, the sermon that morning had been things you've never seen before.
Well, now what they have to do is they have to take that fish to the mount and feed the people with that and the bread. It will feed a lot of people. I've read that in the Bible, so don't doubt me.
Cutler, who says he does not fish often, but does buy a license, says this is the biggest bass he's ever caught. It is currently in a plastic bag in his fridge.
Oh, dude, come on, man.
So the next time someone comes up to tell you a fish tale, just ask. Sure, but it didn't fall out of the sky. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's also, I'm just like, money! If you see if it fall, not falling
from the sky.
Darn it.
That's not going to do it.
That's so fun.
But again, I can just see I can just see him driving on the road Sunday morning, heading to church, and a fish out of nowhere comes and lands on your truck.
Sue! Sue, what?
Did you see that?
Was that a fish?
That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
It just makes me happy.
Yeah, just absolutely. I mean, bummer for the eagle.
Yeah, not good for the eagle. I'm shitting. Bummer for the fish.
I dropped my lunch.
Oh, there it goes. And now he's driving it away. Yes, now he's driving it away. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone in traffic and all across the board at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and being on the stream. It means the world.
Thank you so much.
I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it. Again, don't forget, Free Ticket Fridays underway. Text in the word pitch. You still got about 90 seconds. P-I-T-C-H. Tom Hartman with a new word for you coming up. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will see you Monday.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Anger among many Israelis following the move by Israel's cabinet to approve Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plan to occupy more of Gaza, including Gaza City.
The Israeli cabinet meeting for almost 10 hours in Jerusalem. Outside, protesters outraged, demanding an end to the war and a return of the hostages. 20 are believed to still be alive and held by Hamas in the areas Israel now plans to take over. Hostage families calling the move a death sentence for their loved ones.
ABC's Ian Panel in Tel Aviv. Texas Democratic lawmakers remain out of the state. They fled Austin rather than vote on a new redistricting map that will likely give at least 5 more seats to the Republicans in next year's midterms. Now the FBI has been asked to seek them out. President Trump ordering a ramp-up of federal law enforcement in Washington, D.C. starting overnight. The White House says it will be a 7-day operation. This is ABC News.
We bring